The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers, Paul Danner Jr. and
Fletcher Page,
take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. Welcome into the BBP. It's walkout time. Paul Danner Jr., Fletcher Page, your Inquirer Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com. Following a very simple, easy, cut and dry, easily predictable 27-17 Bengals win over the Dolphins. Really just straightforward stuff.
I'm glad you're here with me to help me get out of this place. This is the first time I've left the PBS.
Yeah, first home game. It's different entering on game day than it is. Yeah. You seem to survive everything fairly well.
I just keep my head down. Just keep grinding.
Keep grinding, you know. That's what you got to do. You're learning from the team. All the cliches.
Well, I show up a few minutes early to all these new things I do because I'm anticipating a few wrong bounces.
Yeah.
So far, it's been smooth. But that's the segue to the Bengals having a few plays go their way today, which I thought was a little bit on the side of not crazy and wild, but I thought the Joe Mixon play, him coming back to catch the football, was huge. And then you get a couple bounces defensively into the hands of defensive ends who race off for touchdowns. I mean, it was just – I don't think that all of that was improbable unto themselves, but all three of those things happening in such a quick – especially the Mixon and Michael Johnson played right there together.
Just a flurry. I mean, it was weird. When Laremy Tunsil went out, I mean, they were already banged up. I don't know if people realize that they were missing, you know, two of their interior linemen already. And then they lose Tunsil. And even Marv, rarely does he take a shot kind of at strategy after the game. And he goes, yeah, they didn't really give that guy much help. And Preston Brown, didn't he say, what did Preston Brown
Preston
say about
that? He was kind of laughing when he said it. So we can tell that he said that number 79 was really nervous when he came in the game. And he thought that was really funny.
He looked it. And you would be too if Johnson and Lawson and Dunlap were lining up from you and you weren't really blocking any of them.
Right. I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think they could have called holding on almost every play after Tunsil went out. I mean, Lawson and Dunlap were just giving them fits.
And when you already have Geno napalming the entire offense up the middle as he was, and, you know, we're kind of on broken record, and I hesitate to continue to talk about this because it's just repeating ourselves every week, but Geno Atkins is destroying the world this year, and Carlos Dunlap is too. This is now the fourth of five games where Dunlap has essentially forced a turnover now. Sam Hubbard didn't fall on one. We had the call not go his way in Indianapolis about landing on Andrew Luck. But, I mean, that would have been a turnover. He just keeps doing this, and they keep changing games. And this one helped put one away. Those two guys are earning their money, and this is, you know, every week it's who is going to win it for you. Well, they found the mismatch, and the defensive line that everybody's been waiting to see win a game for them because they have all this depth went and did it today.
Yeah, and it's top to bottom. I mean, you got a 10-year veteran, Michael Johnson, scoring a touchdown, a rookie, and Sam Hubbard. I thought, obviously, Geno, from the first snap, it just felt like he's just dominating.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it might be boring. Like you said, we're saying it over and over again, but that's a great thing. for the Bengals.
No, yeah, it is. And so, you know, credit them for finishing. And you know, I know I wrote about the belief thing this week, and we talked about it a lot last week. You know, and it was an obvious storyline coming out of Atlanta when they have this great comeback and this, that, and the other. But, you know, it was totally evident today because we said last week when we were looking at the Waffle House and seeing people potentially with no shirt on trying to get service in Atlanta and being approached by randoms in the street, we were talking about this. How many games is that belief going to win you? You know, will it win you any? How many, you know, in this league, it can win you a lot. And I'll be damned if it didn't happen the next week where it basically won them a game. I mean, if you don't have a team that thinks that they're going to find a way, there's no way the situation that they were in, down 17-3 and all the things that were going wrong for them, there was no way you could have thought they were just going to come back and then run away with a 10-point win.
And it really gets even more boring from there because you say, well, how can you, if you're down 17-0, what do you have to do as a defender to keep yourself in it? And then they give you that it's got to be the next play. Mm-hmm. And they were going out and knowing that if you've got Carlos Dunlap coming off the edge like that and getting the pressures that they were, they could force some turnovers.
Yeah. And not only that, so here's the thing. I will eat crow the same way that I will accept some props. I thought if they're just going to continue to try to establish the run throughout the second half of this game, it's going to be their demise. Like, you're down all these points. Mm-hmm. Your running game is trash. Mixon had run 11 times for 16 yards. And I'll be damned if they didn't keep with it and it didn't end up making the difference. So Mixon runs 11 for 16, and then he has 11 more carries in the game for 77. He finally started to break through. He obviously caught the touchdown pass. You know, Bill Lazor, when he came here, he was an OC in Miami, actually, and he caught a reputation there, actually, for giving up on the running game too fast. That was one of the things that followed him here. So to see him beat Miami doing the exact opposite of that, I don't know if that was in the back of his brain at all or if that ever gets thought of, but he sure proved it and proved me wrong because I thought there's no way they can't just put this on Dalton and Green and see if they can carry him. But there was Joe Mixon. Nobody talking about his health because he looked just fine for 22 carries. Kind of carrying him to the end. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, but and you always think about in those situations where you're trying to score 17 points at once, that's mm-hmm. where your head goes. They're still running the ball, but it just was like boom, boom. Joe makes that catch, mm-hmm. and then Michael Johnson's in the end zone.
Right.
And then it almost felt like the game was over right then. There was still 11 minutes to go in the third
quarter. Yeah, there was an inevitability to it at that point.
Yeah, the Dolphins just looked.
Dude, well, let's run through them. I mean, when they had the third and inches call, and they have everything on their side, it's time to start just winding some clock. Third and an inch or a yard maybe, and they run the play action and end up throwing the ball 45 yards down the field trying to throw under. And it clearly was a play that wasn't the exact design.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, when you just do something dumb like that, and then right after that you have them pinned, and your dude, 53, Spates, has the ridiculous taunting on Alex Erickson on the sideline. He gets destroyed by his special teams coordinator for all of national television audience to enjoy. And then you continue to go. I mean, it's just you know, the defenseless receiver call. So you give a team that has had some success coming back and an offense that can get going in their house a little bit of momentum that you hand them, and that's what happens. But that's what teams who aren't super do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think about how turnovers, I think I've said this in the past, they can be fluky, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the ball can get tipped and fall, or it can get tipped into people's hands. But when you've got edge rushers the way that Cincinnati does, you're going to anticipate the ball bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out in Carolina. You mentioned it. Mm-hmm. You know, Hubbard had his chance there and didn't work out, and they lost. But today.
Today they got it.
They got it.
So it's Steelers week now. Congratulations. Welcome. Welcome to your first Steelers week. It's the only week where I feel allowed to really ask about the next opponent in the post game to the previous week. Especially now because look, this team's respectability and ability to win this division will run through Pittsburgh. We knew that at the before the year even started. Mm-hmm. We've known this for a while. We've known it every time we mention the fact that they're 2-15 under Marvin Lewis at Paul Brown Stadium against the Steelers, and how many games in a row they've lost, and 9 of 10 against the Steelers. They can't. That is all very real. This team has a Steelers problem, and until they can fix it, that's going to be who they are. They're going to be little brother, right? And someone tweeted me after the game saying, look, you guys have the power to change the narrative, and you don't call them little brother. Look, they have been. They've lost 9 of 10, and it is up to them to fix that. They need to go win a damn tilt, because until you beat that team, that's going to be who you are in this division and who you are nationally, and they've never been more prepared, in my opinion, to do that. Not only because they're playing well and have belief, and the Steelers have, even though they looked really good today against the Falcons, but because they have a young team that's too young to realize about all that crap. Right? Like, if you have a bunch of old guys who have just spent their entire career getting their heads pounded in by the Steelers, it's different, but there's this different, young, enthusiastic energy, I think, that doesn't view the Steelers as the big, bad wolf. They're just another team, just like anybody that rolls in here is another team.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Mixon and Sam Hubbard are too...
Well, Joe Mixon has had it out a little bit with the Steelers, but Le'Veon Bell was kind of who he had it out with a little bit, and Le'Veon Bell will not be there.
But that's a different kind of... That's the kind of edge or the kind of feeling about a team or an opponent that you want in this situation, mm-hmm. right? So, hey, this sounds stupid, but, man, young guys, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
So you don't have, like you said, you don't have to worry about it.
Ignorance can totally be bliss in this situation when you
ignorance
start really
can,
looking
can make
at
for an easier life sometimes.
Well, yeah. and you know, Marvin Lewis after the game, you know, we were talking about the young players and the roller coaster you're at, because they have not played a complete game yet.
Right.
They have to keep winning these wild games because they make so many damn mistakes, and they take quarters off and halves off. Basically, from really getting things done. So that's where we're at right now. And so I'll be damned if this team doesn't just keep fighting. It's that one attribute that they have, and that's what you need if you're going to go get into a fight in the North against the Steelers next week. We have plenty of time to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
People will be really sick about hearing us talk about the Steelers. And go ahead, and you can start it on me now. Podcast count. Get the clicker ready for how many times I mentioned Big Brother. I'm not trying to put it down people's throat. I'm just saying, or I mention a stat. Maybe I don't use that word. Mention a 2-15, a 9 out of 10. Go ahead and start the clicker on me, because it is pertinent. It is relevant to this situation, because if they do win, you can officially declare the Bengals very much for real this season, because that is where legitimacy has always lied with this team, from as far back as T.J. Houshmandzadeh at Heinz Field wiping his shoes with a terrible towel. The legitimacy was always gained against the Steelers, and this is where it's going to have to be gained again. As nice as 4-1 is, they are another beatdown from the Steelers and Kansas City trip away from 4-3.
Man, that was beautiful. The way you phrased it up.
Did it feel great?
Yeah, I feel like that was a perfect...
just wrap it up.
Stage setter.
Yeah. Walk away when we're ahead, you know?
It's going to be my first time. I'm ready. I'm not ready.
You're not ready, but you think you're ready.
I'm ready to get ready.
You're ready for... What was the word that was made up? To get preparated?
I'm ready.
The word used afterwards, I think that was Joe. I think it was Joe Mixon invented a word today. They were preparated. You got to get preparated before a big game, so you're ready to go.
Well, hey, we're here at my brand new car.
Your brand new car. Congratulations, adult.
Not going to be breaking down in Northern
Kentucky. Adulting it up with your new car.
That's right.
No riding lawnmower yet.
That's not going to happen. But the new car is here for Steelers week. I have no problems with transportation.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to party.
It looks great. Keep it locked to say.com. BBP will be out on Tuesday. BTS CJ Uzama will be our guest. Make sure you check that out. All of our coverage for Steelers Week. It will be hot and heavy this week. So keep an eye on the site and pick up the app. And we'll keep your pocket buzzing with all the information. So thanks, everybody, for listening to The Walkout. And we'll talk to you in a couple days. Have a good one.